In the book of the prophet Isaiah, there are four prophecies about the Messiah. They're called the four servant songs, or the oracles of the suffering servant. We heard from the second one today from Isaiah 49. You can find those four servant songs in Isaiah 42, Isaiah 49, Isaiah 50, and then Isaiah 52 into 53. They all speak of this servant who is to come, who will suffer and yet will free Israel. No one in the Old Testament fits this description. Isaiah the prophet did not do these kind of things. None of the kings of Israel fulfilled all these different tasks. It's a word in waiting. And as the prophecies go on, there's more and more about how this servant will take on this suffering, take on this affliction, even though he is the anointed one of God, who will, in fact, not just bring forth Israel to new life, but to be a light to all the nations. The surprise of the disciples will be that Jesus, their Messiah, must allow himself to die so that he might rise up in new life. And Jesus is preparing them at the Last Supper in the Gospel for what he needs to do to become that servant of God in its fullness. And Peter really wants to follow the Lord, and yet he still can't comprehend the ways of God fully. That Jesus will enter into death so that new life may come. Yesterday, as I was watching Notre Dame Cathedral burn, I was terribly sad. Sad for the Christians in Paris, our friends who are in Holy Week. Sad for the loss of such a gem of just culture and faith for the whole world. And also, sorry because in a year I had planned to visit Notre Dame for the first time, and now I doubt I'll even be able to go inside of it, even though I'll be able to see the outside. The death of this building that's been consumed by flames. And you know, what will happen? It will be rebuilt. It will be beautified once again. Who knows how many years that will take. And the faith of people who make that their spiritual home will be strengthened by that process. But my, for all the people watching yesterday, what just a terrible sadness. What will come of this? It can feel like our own lives sometimes, when things that once were so permanent, so long-lasting, so beautiful, and as a light to so many other people, are all of a sudden struck down, consumed, the ceiling caves in when we least expect it. What are we to do? Jesus says to us, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, though you will follow later." Jesus always is the first one who enters into those places of our lives where we can lose hope, where there's darkness, where it seems like everything that we had stood on before seems to be all of a sudden wiped away. Jesus had to enter into our death first with his glorious divinity, so that after he had risen, then we could follow where he has gone. Peter will follow Christ. He will be crucified upside down for him. He will lay down his life for Jesus. But now he has to be a disciple. Now he has to follow in faith. Now he has to believe that even though he can't see the resurrection, even though he can't see the glory to come, he has to trust that God's doing something right now. God's going to restore something right now. God's going to raise up something even more beautiful than before. But Peter has to follow. He has to go behind the master. He has to let Jesus go first. And so in our lives, wherever there is upheaval, destruction, decay, certainties taken away, all we can do is give our heart to Jesus and say, Lord, you must go into this before me. You have to go into the room before me. Without you, I won't know where to go or what to do. But I follow you. I trust you. I know that you can lead me into places where, and lead me through places where I could not do it myself. Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, though you will follow later. Now Jesus must lay his life down for us. But later, for Peter and for us, he will be risen. And we will follow him into the resurrection.